We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't know. When I think about what happened yesterday, I kind of glad it's Monday and don't wish it was yesterday. Wow, what a day that was. What a game. So many things going on, so much emotion, and it could have been worse. We'll talk about that this afternoon. There's a lot on our website at WWL.com, including Zach Strief wrote a blog titled, "This is the Saints team that is still built to win football games, even without Breeze." And so we'll be talking about Teddy Bridgewater. We'll get your reaction to what happened yesterday and the emotions of what you're feeling. Also, this is the day in 1964, 55 years ago today. The Beatles performed at City Park Stadium in New Orleans. Were you there? I was not. I guess I was a little too young, but I'm sure there were people young as I am at the concert. But we'll spend a little time in the last hour talking about music and the Beatles' performance here. This is politics and pop culture meeting your opinion. So I always look for a reason to talk about music and pop culture when we can. But you know, just the reaction to Drew Brees' injury. And another blown call by the NFL. You know, the injury to the thumb on the throwing hand of Drew Brees was a freak accident. And injuries are part of the game. Another atrocious mistake by an NFL official that had a negative impact on the Saints during a game was not a freak accident and should not be part of the game. In the first quarter of the game between the Saints and the Rams in Los Angeles, Drew Brees, his hand made contact with a Rams defender as he was following through with a pass. Cameras followed Brees as he went to the sidelines, and when he tried to grip a ball, he seemed to throw the ball down in a moment of disgust. And at that point, it was obvious that Drew Brees had a serious injury. The pensive stare of Brees on the sidelines seemed to confirm that Brees himself knew the injury was serious. Sports journalist Ian Rappaport has reported that Brees will undergo surgery. You've heard this in our news with Steve Geller. Will undergo surgery as early as today to repair ligament damage in the thumb of his throwing hand. And Brees is expected to miss the next six games. As bad as that is, it could have been worse. Backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater came in to replace Brees, and his performance was inconsistent at best, but it's fair to note that the team seemed to lost its collective will when Brees was injured. Can this team rally around Bridgewater and win enough of the six games while Brees is out to keep pace in the NFC South? And it doesn't seem like there's any real... You know, there was a time when the NFC South was a powerhouse division, and right now it doesn't seem to be the powerhouse division it once was, which was one of the reasons why people were so optimistic here in New Orleans that it looked like the Saints were going to have a really good shot at winning the division. So we can still be there. But beginning today, the challenge for the Saints and the coaching staff is to regain that collective will behind Teddy Bridgewater. Now, while the injury to Brees' thumb was a result of playing the game, the NFL official who was quick to blow the whistle on a play that was a fumble and not an incomplete pass, that should not be part of the game. That whistle, calling the play dead, negated a scoop and score touchdown by Saints defensive end Cam Jordan. That proved to be a 10-point turnaround favoring the Rams. And at that point in the game, it seemed to leave an emotional scar on the entire team. It is unspeakable that an NFL official would blow another key call that negatively impacted the Saints in a game against the Rams. What are the chances that two NFL officials would make grievous calls that benefited the Rams in two different games? The chances are not good that that would happen. Which brings us to what I think is the painful truth. Is it possible that NFL are biased against the Saints? As unbelievable as that seems, there seems to be mounting evidence to support that claim. Now, the Saints may have lost anyway. It's nearly impossible to prove that there's bias. But last season, an official blew an obvious interference call against the Rams in the NFC Championship game here in New Orleans, which arguably ended the Saints' chances of getting to the Super Bowl. The NFL admitted the official was wrong by not calling interference against the Rams defender. Yesterday in Los Angeles against the Rams, another NFL official was quick to blow the whistle on an extremely close call between a fumble and an incomplete pass that negated Cam Jordan's 89-yard touchdown run. That guy can run. That's a big dude. He can run. He picked it up. It was actually a fumble and not an incomplete pass. It should have been a touchdown. It is incomprehensible to believe that there was another blown call in a game between the Saints and the Rams. So here's what I think may happen. The NFL seems desperate to get a team in Los Angeles that is popular again. So the Rams are there, the Chargers are there, a state-of-the-art stadium is being built for the Rams in the nation's second largest market. The Rams do not have a strong fan base, in part because it's LA and everybody's distracted and on drugs. No, I'm just kidding about that part. But everybody's just, you know, totally distracted in LA. They're so busy paying their high taxes that they can't really afford to pay attention to anything else. But the Rams do not have a strong fan base because of all the distractions in LA. The NFL wants that to change. The Saints have a strong, unwavering fan base. And the NFL has more to gain from a team in Los Angeles doing well than the New Orleans Saints doing well because we're in one of the smaller markets. I mean, I hate that this is the truth, but it is. Now, NFL officials are human beings. Human beings have a conscious and a subconscious self. More realistic than the idea that the NFL meets with officials and plans to sway games through officiating is the reality that officials can be victims of their own subconscious bias. Countless calls are close calls and could go either way. What is it that has led two terrible calls favoring the Rams over the Saints to happen? What has led to this? As human beings, we have a tendency to allow our subconscious self to reflect our biases. You know, you may think you're objective when in reality, you're not. And we talk about this quite often when it comes to the news, because even a person who is trying to be totally objective, and we go back to even Walter Cronkite on the CBS Evening News, one of the most respected news broadcasters in the history of broadcasting in America. And yet, even Walter Cronkite could not be unbiased toward the Vietnam War after he went to Vietnam and came back. And his bias was obvious through the wording and his body language when he would talk about the story, sometimes even his words. So, it's interesting when it comes to so many different things in race and religion and sexual orientation and politics. We tell ourselves that we are so unbiased, that we are totally objective and that we're totally fair. But in reality, deep down inside, many of us are not. So the official that blew the play dead in the game yesterday, could he have done this because he was leaning toward giving the advantage of a close call to the Rams? When even the neutral network announcers, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on Fox News, they reprimanded the officials for an obviously missed call. If you have to make a judgment call in your work or your personal life, that judgment can be altered by whether you like or dislike the target of the judgment. And so if it comes down to a close call, I'm convinced that a team like the Rams is going to get the call over the Saints. But it's just inconceivable that this would happen in two games. The last two times the Saints have played the Rams, just really, not just a missed call, but blatantly blown calls that shouldn't have happened. And still, as a fan, I get the sense that the NFL does not hold officials accountable. If you make a mistake in your job, are you held accountable? Probably. And so that official that made that call, or that didn't make that call, or that made the call yesterday, stopping the play when he should have let it go, because they're trained. When it's a close call like that, they don't know if it's a fumble or an incomplete pass. But the instinct was to call it an incomplete pass and blow the whistle. And that was unfortunate. But the NFL doesn't seem to be allowing any kind of consequence for the NFL officials. And that's what's so frustrating to fans. You know, I also thought it was interesting that, and this is what I believe happened, and I think this can happen in this business. I think Fox Sports got a call from the NFL. Because it was interesting, they talked about it, Aikman and Buck talked about it in the booth. They talked about the bad call, then they shut up about it the whole game. There was a recap at the very end of the game, but they stopped talking about it because that call made the NFL look bad. And I'm convinced that the NFL called Fox Sports and sent a message to the booth, hey guys, don't talk about that anymore. And don't think that can't happen. But in a game where the NFL had every reason to be unbiased in its officiating because it was a rematch with the Rams following the blown call last season, an official showed blatant bias favor of the Rams in the second largest market in the country. The Saints would probably have lost even if Cam Jordan's touchdown had counted. But it's impossible to ignore the reality that at that point in the game with the 10-point shift, the already breezeless Saints suffered an emotional setback that may have altered the outcome of the game. The two mistakes made by officials benefiting the Rams over the Saints last season and yesterday are reason to believe that biased officiating is now an acceptable part of the NFL. And that's sad. But the NFL is such a dynasty that it seems willing to allow certain biases in the name of what is in the best interest of the game. But it's hard to argue that it's in the best interest of the game when there's no integrity. The Saints would probably have lost yesterday anyway. But that doesn't take away another blatant call that was wrong, that really changed the course of the game. Every penalty doesn't change the course of a game. But in a game where you would have thought the NFL would have wanted the officials to really be on their best behavior and to really be fair, this was just the most obnoxious bias call since the call against the no call against the Saints and the Rams last season. And I'm not sure there's anything we can do about it. But the integrity of the NFL, in my opinion, is at stake here. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. We'll get your reaction to Breeze's injury and the prospects under Teddy Bridgewater. Should it be Teddy Bridgewater or should it be Taysom Hill? Also, the bad call. And again, I don't know if there's anything that we can do about this. But if there was ever a time for us to believe, this is the time. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. Yes, it was a bad day for the Saints. And even without the bad call, they probably would have lost that game. And we have apparently lost Drew Brees for what appears to be like maybe 6 weeks. But really, a very disappointing game is part of what Sean Payton talked about right after the game. And he said that there were just a lot of bad plays and bad penalties.
Obviously, it was a disappointing loss. You know, I thought in the first half it was kind of a defensive game, field position game. We were comfortable with that, certainly being on the road. And yet, I think when we watch this tape tomorrow, we're going to be disappointed with tackling. We're going to be disappointed offensively with how we played, particularly up front, the penalties. This will be a hard film to watch for guys.
And after the game, Drew Brees said that he was hopeful. He knows a little more now than he knew then, but he said he was going to be hopeful.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. Again, I'm hoping for the best and just preparing for whatever the next steps might be according to the evaluation.
And it appears as if there's ligament damage. It's the ligament that holds the thumb joint in place. And look, injuries are part of the game. It just happens. How are you feeling about the Saints right now? Because all they have to do is get through these six games with Teddy Bridgewater and keep up the pace of winning the NFC South. And then Brees comes back and, you know, hopefully, I mean, you never really know, but hopefully everything will be great. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. From Harahan, Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoop, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I could be better, but I'm all right.
Yeah, me too. I just wanted to ask you and anybody who's listening, did you have the feeling, I got the feeling when after I saw the missed call, the bad call, and Drew Brees getting hurt, I just really didn't want to watch NFL football. It took away from what my expectation and the standards set by the NFL, it really belted me right there. Not because it was to the Saints, I mean, but that had a lot to do with it because it's the third time with them. But really, that they would even allow this on a game that had so much. It was America's most watched game. I don't understand. It was horrible to sit there and feel like that. So I'm saying that because I'm wondering if this feeling spilled over into all of the Saints players. Because their body language said it.
Yeah. Well, I felt that too. And the call, the bad call was just, it was just another stab in the wound. Now, Drew Brees' injury, Sean, you know, the injuries happen in the NFL. That's something that you can't control. And the way these guys play, it's amazing that people are not injured on every single play. So that's part of the game. And I don't think there's a conspiracy on the part of the NFL against the Saints. But I think we need to recognize that officials as human beings could have a subconscious bias that causes them to do certain things in certain situations. And I think in both of these situations, the officials subconsciously sided with the idea that the Rams need a boost, new stadium, L.A., let's build fan base in the second largest market in the country. The Saints don't need that because we've got a strong fan base already. It's not fair. But I just, you know, I was really disgusted, and to some degree, I felt a little hopeless. Not about the Saints in general, but just about the attitude of the NFL.
Yeah, I was wondering, what do you think about referees receiving fines or anything of that nature to help encourage them to try to remember the rules?
I think they should.
I think they should.
Yeah, you know, and then in the game, you know, last week, Monday Night Football. In the Dome, they didn't even understand a rule that Drew Brees and Sean Payton understood, but they didn't get it. There should be a penalty for that. There should be a consequence for that. And I think it would help the integrity of the NFL if they did hold officials accountable in some way, whatever way it is. But if you don't do your job properly, you are penalized. And that should, you know, it's like they can call penalties on players, penalties that don't even exist, but the NFL can't even call a penalty on an official.
Thank you, Scoop.
Sean, I appreciate the call. And if you haven't noticed, we've made a change here. There's more talk and more of your calls and fewer interruptions on WWL. I'm Scoot, and from the CBD, Scotty, welcome to the show. Hello, Scotty. Scotty, are you there? All right, we'll put Scotty on hold. Check back with him in just a moment. From New Orleans, Richard, welcome to WWL.
Good afternoon. I was just reiterating what you said earlier about the two games in a row, that really it's three mistakes, three games in a row. Last Monday night, the Saints were owed 15 seconds before halftime. That would have probably resulted in a Will Lutz field goal. The ball would have been closer to the goal. And that could have affected the whole outcome of the game, meaning we probably didn't need that field goal with 2 seconds left.
And it's,
so it's
true.
It's three games yeah. in a row. Officials make mistakes, and they are not held accountable. That is criminal.
I don't see how, I don't know if it's criminal, but I don't see how this advances the integrity of a game that some people are becoming disenchanted with.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Richard, I appreciate the call. You want to join us with your comment? Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here is a text. They also blank us on the timeline. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a problem with the clock. I mean, there was a basic rule that the officials didn't understand. And Sean Payton and Drew Brees understood it, but the officials didn't get it. How can that not come with a consequence? And because of these questions, why not hold officials accountable? I mean, it's almost like they're treating them like Christ-like figures that they can do no wrong. And I don't think that's it's fair to the fans. From Zachary, Brian, you're on WWL.
Yes, I'm calling because I was, you know, basically of the news that Drew Brees would be out for six weeks.
That's what we're hearing.
And, with that being said, looking at Teddy Bridgewater's performance over the last month or so, including preseason and as well as yesterday's performance to carry out the game. I mean, like it's hard to say that he would be considered, you know, the backup QB. But Taysom Hill, in my opinion, I don't know about anybody else's, but he's more consistent than Bridgewater, and he has a higher impact on the team as far as winning goes. Could you see Taysom Hill?
Well, yeah, I can. And here, Brent, here's what I find astonishing, and I don't understand this. I mean, I know one of the reasons that's given, but with about 10 minutes left in the game, Bridgewater is not in sync with the team. The team is not playing for Bridgewater. It's not fair to Teddy, but it's not working. What do you have to lose if you put Taysom Hill in the game at that point? I don't know that it would have changed things, but it might have. You're on this course, and the reluctance to change a quarterback, I've heard, can be based on trying to make sure that you don't hurt the confidence of the quarterback. And I'm thinking, these guys are paid millions of dollars to do what they do. I don't think we should worry about breaking their confidence. I mean, while confidence is an important thing, they're men, and they're played to do this. And I just don't understand why there is such reluctance to try something new when something is not working and just doesn't seem to have a chance of suddenly starting to work.
You got a point there.
All right. Brian, I appreciate the call. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. You got a comment, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Friday, we talked about the death of Eddie Money, and over the weekend, Rick Ocasek of the Cars was found dead in his apartment in New York. Rick was 75 years old, and the Cars were just so prototypical of the 80s, musically and visually. And they were part of the whole new wave movement that started in, you know, the late 70s, but really into the early 80s. They were really part of that whole new wave movement that ultimately led to the music of the 80s. So Rick Ocasek, no longer with us. Sorry to hear that. I'm Scoot. We're coming back. This is WWL. And that's the big question. Can the Saints be confident with Teddy Bridgewater? You know, this is also a tough time for the Saints because they're staying on the West Coast. They went from L.A. to Seattle. So they're not going to be at home. They're not going to be in their home surroundings. They're not going to be at their home training facility. So they have a big obstacle right now. And look, you know, when it comes to Taysom Hill, I don't pretend to know more than Sean Payton. And I also don't think that I want the Saints to win more than Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton wants the Saints to win even more than I do because that's his job. He's the coach. I mean, I really want him to win, but I think Sean Payton probably wants him to win more than I do. But it occurs to me that, wait, hang on. Okay, we got something. Okay, let's go to Sports Director Christian Garrick joins us live on WWL. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Scoot, listen, Sean Payton just got off his conference call with the media a few moments ago, and basically he said that Drew Brees is not having surgery on his thumb today. He is getting a second opinion. So there's maybe some light at the end of the tunnel, some good news, if you will, because there's a chance that maybe surgery isn't required. But again, he's seeking a second opinion, so no surgery for Drew Brees today, according to Sean Payton.
All right, Christian, that is very encouraging news if it turns out to be the case. But either way, he's going to have some recovery time.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Sean Payton didn't want to speak about hypotheticals today. But then, you know, at one point in his press conference, he said, we're about to find out, when he was asked what life might look like without Drew Brees and are playing a game. And he didn't say specifically that Drew Brees would be out even this week. But he also that's also his way of ultimately just not answering hypothetical questions.
Yeah. All right, Christian, sports director, thanks for being with us and giving us that update. So, I mean, it's kind of encouraging. If you want to join us with a comment, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And from Metairie, Dave, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoot, thank you. I think Bridgewater's going to be fine. I mean, he's going to have all week working with the number ones, and they're going to, you know, fast-pace them into everything. Timing is everything with the NFL. It's so fast when you get into action with number ones. In preseason, he didn't get that chance. And you know, the receivers, Drew Brees, they almost automatic. You know, they know where he knows where the receivers are going to be. They know him. They know the touch of his passes. They know he throws the areas. And, they've been camaraderie for years. So you can't expect him to go. And you got to also note that the Rams' defensive coordinator is a veteran in the league, Wade Phillips. And he knows, you know, once Brees was out, he said, I'm going to make it beat me passing, you know. And they played seven down and four rush, and they got a great defensive line. They whipped us up front. And you know, it's hard. You try to look downfield with seven guys and find an open receiver when you only have no time to throw. So, you know, the jury's still out, but you got to give the guy a chance, and they wouldn't pay him $7 million if Peyton didn't have confidence in him. And he is young, so I'm willing to give him a chance. And even a week or two, you know, you don't just – Tom Brady couldn't come in there. Well, maybe him, and have camaraderie with the receivers that he's not used to. You know, it takes a little bit. You know,
well, you're right, Dave. There were many times in the game yesterday that it appeared that Teddy Bridgewater and the receivers were not on the same page. And again, what David just brought up about, you know, the touch of the ball, the touch of that pass, the location, all of that stuff comes with familiarity of working with receivers. I've got a text here that says, what did Christian say? I missed it. And this just goes to show you how many people are tuning in all the time, which is why we try to update you on what we're talking about. Our sports director, Christian Garrick, just called in and said that Drew Brees is getting a second opinion. It appears as if he's not having surgery today. He's getting a second opinion, and he may not need surgery, which I'm sure would expedite his return to the Saints. But again, there's still a lot we don't know, but that's all we can report at this point. From Madisonville, Ray, you're on WWL.
Hello, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm good, Ray.
I was calling, you talk about the lead singer to the Cars and then Eddie Money, and it just makes you think of how old you are, or how old I am, when I think
know.
Of 35 years ago, it was the Jump Van Halen cassette, and I'm like, Jesus, that was 35 years ago. So it makes you feel old when you hear these guys. And you mentioned that he was 75 years old, and I would never thunk that.
I wouldn't have thought that either, because I guess it's the last time we saw him. He looked kind of young. I mean, the Cars broke up in 88, and we haven't seen much of them.
I guess so. I love the show, man. I love what you bring to it. I love all your topics. I think we're going about it the wrong way. I almost do not like all the bashing of the calls. I think it makes us look bad. I think that there's lots of calls throughout the whole every week that are bad calls. Look at the Raiders with the tuck rule. I mean, they were going to go to the Super Bowl also. I just think it's got to stop because it's going to get to a point where we're just crying about calls, and I think we're so much better than that. There's other things that we need to do to give ourselves a chance to win at the end of games, whether it be not turning the ball over, whether it be interceptions, we just need to come out of this, because nobody's going to have sympathy for us. And so am I the only one that feels like this? Maybe other fans.
No,
feel
Ray,
the same way.
Ray, you're not the only one that feels that way. And I mean, I agree with you. I guess because you talk about the bad calls around the league in general. I'm talking about the bigger picture of the NFL's reluctance to apparently hold officials that blatantly do not do their job properly to hold them accountable. That is the big picture that bothers me, regardless of the team.
Yes, I get what you're saying, but for an official to sit there and think, wait, this is a small market team, let me be a little more biased to these bigger markets, that's a little dire.
I don't think it's just conscious. I think if there is that bias, it's an unconscious bias, a subconscious bias that, you know, if a Republican and a Democrat say the exact same thing, they say the exact same words, depending on your bias, you will judge them differently. You know, if you're conservative, you will not criticize the Republican, but you criticize the Democrat, and vice versa. So we are prone to our human subconscious selves. And so I don't think it's a conspiracy. I just think that there is a possibility that, and if that happens, then let's encourage the officials to not submit to their unconscious bias or self-conscious bias subconscious bias. Let's not let them cater to that by holding them accountable. That's the point that I'm making, but yeah. I agree with you. At some point, that's got to end. Ray, I appreciate the comments, and you know, when Ray's talking about how people have gotten older, I mean, think about this: if you grew up with grunge, if you were coming of age when grunge was popular, I mean, you could be 40, 45, 47 years old right now. I mean, think about it. Because, you know, yes, it was a while back. You're at least in your, you know, upper 30s. So, you know, yeah, I mean, the good news is a lot of people live a long time. And look, 75, I know in some ways it's kind of young, but, you know, I don't know what Rick Ocasek's life was like or his health was like. I don't know if this was a surprise or not. You know, he may have been somewhat brokenhearted because his supermodel wife, they announced their separation last year. So, you know, I don't know if that played a part in it as well. But look, we have to rally. We want the team to rally. And if the team's going to rally, we have to ask ourselves to rally as well. And we have to rally around the Saints. And I know we will. And, you know, once the shock of Breeze being out ends, people will be pulling for Teddy Bridgewater. You know, I love the comment, it's Teddy time. I think that was a promotion by Victoria's Secret a few years ago. I'm Scooch. We'll be back. This is WWL. We're continuing with the reaction to Drew Breeze's injury and another blown call by an NFL official. Interestingly, in another game between the Saints and the Rams. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Do you believe NFL officials can be biased in making calls? 87% say yes, and 13% say no. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. From Natchez, Philip, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good, Philip.
All right. Scoot, just comment on the obvious bias by the officials in the call yesterday. But let's talk about, I call it the hidden bias. You know that little saying they could call holding on every play on the offensive line? Well, it looked like they did it to us yesterday. And Cam Jordan,
he was
getting held just about every other play, and he wouldn't call it. So I call that a hidden bias, because they say, well, we could call it if we want to.
That's right. No, I mean, look, this guy was hugging on Cam Jordan. It was almost like they wanted to be a same-sex couple. You know, I mean, I'm serious. He was like, he was hanging on him.
Yep.
I saw that. Yeah.
One other comment, Scoot, on Teddy. I think, you know, if this would have happened last year, you remember Teddy came to us, at the beginning of the year, not knowing the offense, we would have really been in trouble.
Yeah.
But he's had a year to learn the offense. I just think he just has to get acclimated, you know, working with the ones, and the offense is designed around him now. I think we'll be okay.
Philip, do they still have that place on the river in Natchez under the hill?
Yes, it's still there, Scoot.
Oh, man, that's an awesome. I stayed there one. That is an awesome place.
You need to come check it out.
All right, Philip, I appreciate the call. It really, just a really quaint little city. And they had this place, I think Jim Bowie's knife was there. It's where Jim Bowie used to, throw his knife. It had this place under the hill. It was, right down by the Mississippi River. Very charming little town. All right, I'm Scoot. We're going to continue. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with more of your comments. It's Monday afternoon. This is WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.